Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. As I promised a number of weeks ago before Christmas, I need to finish up the discussion on Biden's Build Back Better bill. Remember, last year there were two massive spending bills. In March of 2020, the Democrats passed a $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill, creating new programs and grants and sending out free money to every American household. It had very little to do with COVID and wasn't necessary economically, but the current administration wasn't going to be outdone by the last administration sending out money to American families. Well, if that wasn't enough, the Democrats passed a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill in November of 2021. Again, all with money the government doesn't have. But then on top of that, in December, Congress passed the $1.2 trillion Build Back Better bill, which is all about government funding for new social programs. Billions to create an army of climate change enforcers, pre-K for all children, free child care for all, the expansion of Medicare, billions for public housing, universities, transportation projects, along with a slew of new taxes. It's a socialist wish list. And good luck trying to find an article that fully details all that's in the bill. This is a spending bill that is secretive. All you're supposed to know is the slogan, Build Back Better. And who would object to building things back better? But remember, the left's definition of Build Back Better is far different from what the American people think Build Back Better means. The bill should be properly entitled Build More Government. Now, currently, the Build Back Better bill is being held up in the Senate. Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat from West Virginia, refuses to vote for the bill because Manchin is a conservative Democrat. He still opposes handing out money and deficit spending. And of course, this has made the Democrat Party irate, calling for Manchin's resignation. But actually, many Democrats are glad to use Manchin as an excuse for not passing this bill. The Democrats want to pander to their radical socialist members, but they know if they pass this bill, there's going to be economic troubles, more inflation, and they'll get booted out of office in the upcoming midterm elections. So actually, many Democrats are secretly happy for Manchin's refusal to give his vote for this bill. And you can be sure there's been some backroom deals worked out where Democrats are using Manchin to hold up this bill. Now, we haven't heard about this much in the news, but the American economy is in deep trouble. If Republicans were in office, every major news outlet would be reporting the bad economic news every night. But as it is, they're burying the story. To support the current administration, to keep people unaware of the situation, to keep them shopping. Because if you tell people the economy is bad, they'll stop buying. And that will make matters worse. So many economists believe it's important to keep up the illusion of economic prosperity. But the American economy is in trouble, even though it seems as if there is money everywhere to burn. Corporate revenues are falling. American manufacturing and productivity is down, which is the real gauge of wealth, not just numbers on a piece of paper. And the inflation rate is the highest it's been in 40 years, 7%. Now, that might seem like a low figure, but the compounding effect means in a few years, the price of everything will double. Remember those stimulus checks you received from the government? What was it? $1,200 and then $700 and then $1,100? As predicted by economic law, you did not receive any real gain in those stimulus checks. It was only an illusion because by the end of this year, the price of everything went up more than what you received in those checks. And next year, the prices will remain just as high, but you will not be getting any of those checks. That's what happens when the government prints money and hands it out to people. We get runaway inflation, and it always hurts people. So what's happening right now is economically called stagflation. We had this back in the 1970s, where there's inflation even though the economy is stagnant. This is because the demand for products is not what's producing inflation, but government deficit spending. So that's a brief summary. As Christians, why should we even talk about this? I mean, I don't even wake up every morning thinking about the economy. I'm a firm believer in Jesus' command in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If people get right with God and live moral lives, the finances will take care of themselves. Therefore, our focus needs to be on people's relationship with God, not how people are doing financially. I really don't care about the gross domestic product. I care about people's relationship with God. As the prophet Amos said in chapter 8, there's a famine in the land, not of bread or thirst for water, but rather of hearing the words of the Lord. America's real deficit and real bankruptcy is spiritual. But all the world is concerned about is the gifts of God, but not God. They think by focusing on the economy, they can fix the economy. But the only way to fix the economy is for people to turn back to God and become obedient to the law of God. The only reason to talk about the American economy is to use it to point people to the greater problem. In the Bible, ancient Israel did not track Israel's gross domestic product. The biblical description of economic recession was simply that there is a famine in the land. And everything that the Bible says about famine can therefore be applied to our modern recessions and depressions. And a spiritual problem was behind every biblical famine. The people forsook the Lord, and they failed to obey the word of the Lord, and hence came famine, deprivation, lack, and the same is true today. Every economic problem is due to a spiritual problem. And again, the reason for discussing economic problems is to point out the spiritual problem. Even in the story of the prodigal son, Jesus pointed out the economic deprivation that the prodigal found himself in. There came a famine in the land, and the prodigal had to resort to feeding swine. Why even mention all that? Well, that's just to show where disobedience to God leads. And in the Bible, every famine in Israel pointed back to Israel's apostasy from God. So Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their transgressions, and to the house of Jacob their sins. So here are the sins of America. First, as I mentioned in my first program, the crime in how these spending bills are being funded. By printing money, by cheating the public. Second, and what I'd like to briefly cover today, the crime in how this money is being spent. In both cases, it's a sin of greed. Our leaders are out to greedily print money, and then they pass out money to those who are greedy for government grants and checks. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13, for from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. Isaiah 56, 11, the dogs are greedy, they are not satisfied, speaking about the leadership of Israel. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 6, woe to him who increases what is not his and makes himself rich with loans. We don't tend to think of our government, our legislators, our bureaucrats in this way. But the federal government has become greedy for gain. That's why in 2021, they have passed these three reckless spending bills. They want more and more money for themselves. And they want increased power to pass out money. But in addition to greed, there's another sin that has overtaken America. And that is the companion sin of sloth. Along with greed, another crime in our national leaders is sloth. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18. Through indolence, the rafters sag, and through slackness, the house leaks. Proverbs 13, 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. Proverbs 26, 14. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in his dish. He is weary of bringing it to his mouth again. Have you ever noticed all the foundational principles in the first few chapters of Genesis? About marriage, about family, gender, the bearing of children. Well, in Genesis 3, God commands us to work. Genesis 3, 7, cursed be the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all of the days of your life. By the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread. Now, ever since that command was given, the ungodly have resisted it. Instead of working, they have plotted to have other people do the work for them, either through slavery or by landlording or by forcing people to pay by the power of tax. Rather than working by the sweat of one's brow and producing goods and service that people want, the slothful man wants to live as a parasite off of the work of others. And that is the great crime in all of these massive government spending bills. It takes the money earned by productive people and puts it into the hands of government bureaucrats who do nothing of real value. I mean, these people could never get others to freely pay for their social justice programs, their climate change programs, their university grants, in LGBTQ studies. So they force the public to pay for their ideological endeavors through the government's ability to force taxation. Now, since they somewhat feel guilty that they're getting a free ride through government taxation, where they have all of these vacations and a great benefit and retirement package, these statists propose that all business activity go through government so that everyone can do what they do, where the government collects all money through taxes and then distributes it. But the point I want to make here is that it's all based upon sloth. Mankind's natural tendency to want to avoid the curse of Genesis. This wanting to avoid producing goods and services that people actually want and will pay for. Because then they would have to do real work, hauling hay or welding steel, and then they would have to be personally responsible to make their own ends meet and to take care of their own families. Here's an article. The Build Back Better Act includes $30 billion to put towards an organization called the Civilian Climate Corps. Quote, its money would be used to train and inspire the next generation of clean energy and conservation leaders. Over 300,000 will be hired who will help tackle climate change in their own communities. Kind of like a bunch of community organizers. The article goes on to say it can also involve young people in environmental protection and motivate us and make us feel like we're actually making a difference. And we're empowered to fight against the climate crisis, says Molly Larson, a student activist, who says the CCC, the Civilian Climate Corps, would offer good-paying jobs to young people passionate about tackling climate change. Leaders with Wisconsin Wildlife Federation say that it could help retirees who buy lakeside homes, who need extra elbow grease when it comes to managing things like stormwater and invasive species. The elderly folks who do live in shoreline properties want to do the right thing, but they lack the manpower, and that's where the CCC steps in. The extra hands on deck would also help build the case for county and city boards who are working toward goals of cutting their carbon footprints. Unquote. So you and I know what this means in practice. Climate ideologues being paid to pontificate about and to force compliance with their climate change religion. What a great thing for the government to pay 300,000 people to tell others to insulate their windows and drive small cars. Where can I sign up for that job? Here's some other items in the Build Back Better bill. $1 billion to Native Americans, Alaskan Natives, and Native Hawaiian communities for housing needs. $500 million for minority-serving schools of medicine. $112 million for teacher preparation programs at historically black colleges and universities. $75 million for culturally appropriate care management and services for older individuals who are racial and ethnic minorities or are underserved due to their sexual orientation or gender identity. Why do these people need $75 million in care management is beyond me. Also, $75 million to study maternal health for pregnant and postpartum minority individuals. $50 million study of maternal mortality among minorities. $50 million to improve behavioral health outcomes for community of color with substance abuse. $75 million to increase research capacity at minority-serving institutions. Whatever that means. So we know what this means in practice. Government grants always result in too much money spent for too little work. Layers of bureaucracy to distribute money. Comfy government jobs that do 1 hour's worth of work in an 8 hour day. And work that really doesn't need to be done. This bill really isn't about helping people. It's about ideology. A big component of the bill is free daycare for children. The bill states that people should pay no more than 7% of their household income toward childcare. And then the government should pay the rest. And that's the same philosophy in Obamacare, where you pay only 8% of your income for your health insurance, and then the government's supposed to pick up the rest. The left also wants to do this for housing, for food, for college education, for transportation. You only pay so much, and the government picks up the rest. Now, not only does this cause prices to go up since the government is footing the bill, but this is the gradual process of relieving individuals of their personal responsibility and putting it on government. As I stated previously, since the command to work by the sweat of your brow in the garden, ungodly people have done everything in their power to avoid work. Now, I might sound like a real hard-hearted Sam here, with my contempt for government grants and entitlements. But I want you to understand that I live amongst the grassroots. I see firsthand how government money is wasted, how it ruins people's lives, how it funds all sorts of laziness and evil. Even the Democrat Senator, Joe Manchin, who voted against this bill, understands how this money will be wasted. The media recently ran a piece trying to discredit Manchin, in that Manchin told one of his aides, quote, low-income people will waste the money in the Build Back Better plan. Manchin reportedly said that parents who receive the $300 per child additional tax credit will spend that money on drugs. Well, Manchin knows what's going on in West Virginia with the opioid epidemic. Many parents aren't working and they're strung out on drugs. And those who are working really don't need the extra $300. Manchin also reportedly told fellow senators that he was against the bill's paid sick leave because people would lie about their illness and go on hunting trips. And that's what happens in real life. According to Yahoo, someone close to Manchin said Manchin had concerns about grandparents taking care of children whose parents struggle with addiction and that grandparent caretakers would not qualify for the child tax credit. Quote from Manchin, we have children that are now living with grandparents. And given the assistance that we give in the welfare system, don't you think we can basically target the child, making sure that the money follows the child? So if the grandparents raise the child, they get the money and not the parents. Well, of course, Manchin was excoriated for saying these things because no one is allowed to talk about people's sin and holding people responsible for themselves. Because the prevailing secular view is that everyone is a victim of some sort of oppression and therefore needs to be compensated. Even work is considered oppression. Congresswoman Alexandria Cortez, on her website and promoting her new Green Deal, stated that there needs to be economic security to all those who are unable and unwilling to work. She's also quoted as saying people should not go back to work out of protest. We're not going back to work 70 hours a week just so we can put food on the table and not even feel any sort of semblance of security in our lives. Now, conservatives love to beat up on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but she does represent the mindset of many young people and those on the left. And my point is this, when people depart from God, one of the first things to go is work. And you can see it in national policy. Work is despised, it's mocked, it's dishonored. If God says you shall work by the sweat of your brow, the philosophy of Satan is always going to be, you shall not work by the sweat of your brow. The Christian ethic is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order, if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting as busybodies. Nation that has abandoned Christ will abandon this Christian ethic. People will lead undisciplined lives, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Who are the busybodies? Well, bureaucrats who don't want to do much work, but simply just point their finger at other people, demanding that others comply with their ideological wishes of socialism, LGBTQ, climate justice, critical race theory, or what have you. Socialism is the way ungodly people can get a free ride off of other people. Like I mentioned last time, with every sin comes a sophisticated philosophy to justify it. The sin of greed and printing money is justified with the economic philosophy of Keynesian economics. And the sin of laziness is often justified and excused through the economic philosophy of socialism. And socialism is what the Build Back Better bill is all about. A Christian nation, a Christian people, would never pass such a bill because it violates so many biblical principles of work, of responsibility, of the limited role of government. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. There's a bit more to discuss on this subject, but that will be on the extended video version of this program on YouTube and on Rumble, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thanks for listening. Keep the faith, stand firm in your convictions, and do not be conformed to this world. Because all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not from the Father, but it's from the world. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to use the economic famine in our land to show people the famine of the word of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.